حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد First of all, brothers and sisters, I want to wish you all Eid Mubarak for the completion of the month of Ramadan. And this night, inshallah, is a blessed night. A night of ibadat and dua and asking Allah for acceptance of our deeds and of our duas that we have made in this month. Just a few words to conclude our topic that we had for the past some days, which was regarding the system of government in Islam. How Islam wanted us to establish the system in our society. When we saw that in order to establish Islam, it is necessary that a government must be established in order for that society to implement and practice Islam. And if that is a need, then Allah also has to give the right to rule over the people and to make decisions for the people to whoever will be in charge, whether it is the Prophet or the Imam, and in the ghaibat of the Imam, the alim or the faqih, who fits that criteria and is able to perform that role. And if such a person takes and assumes responsibility of establishing the system and establishing leadership, then it is wajib and obligatory on everyone of the mu'mineen to obey his command and to support that leadership. And as we had mentioned from the hadith also, and according to hadith, that if a person does not obey the wali or the wali of faqih, it means he does not obey the imam. If he doesn't obey the imam, he doesn't obey the prophet and goes back to Allah. The following of the wali is an obligation on all of us. Sometimes when we look at this subject of wilayat al-faqih, we see that there are many people who will say or will try to oppose it and will try to say that this is not accepted by all the ulama. And I think that has been answered in the speeches I gave, that yes, it is a concept that is aqli, logical, and is accepted by all the ulama. Everyone has to accept the idea that the faqih has wilayats. Now the discussion of difference comes in the extent of his wilayats. those who oppose it, they say, no, it's not a matter that it's there or not. Yes, the faqih has wilayat, otherwise how can a marja claim to be a marja or give fatwas, and how can the people follow his rulings if he doesn't have wilayat over them? So the wilayat exists, but they say that it only exists to the extent of two things. It exists until the extent of two things. One is that the marja can give fatwa, the alim can give fatwa, and that he can collect qoms. To these two extents, they say that this is the extent of his wilayat. Whereas the group that speaks about wilayat-e faqih, they say that no, it extends also to government. Meaning that if the fatwa, which is for the individual, and the homes, right, if that is the only situation, then more important than that is to establish and organize the affairs of the Muslims. And more so, and more importantly, the wilayat should extend to that. He says that if he's not going to organize the affairs of the Muslims, then who is going to organize it? Some jahil is going to come and lead us and be our leader? And that's what's happening in Muslim world right now. We see all of these people, politicians, become rulers, and at the end what happens is what you see. Is this what Allah wanted us to be? To always be under those who are jahil and those who are ignorant and those who are kafir? So obviously the fact is that the wilayat of the faqih must extend to hukumat also, and that he has the right to make decisions for others and organize the affairs of the Muslims. This is also what we had went through. Now, I want to go to a more, you can say, a different angle of this subject. If you had remembered, in one of the speeches I said that there are two powers any government in the world needs in order to establish itself as a government. Two things I said. One is the support of the people. And I hadn't mentioned the second one. I had mentioned the second one and no one asked about it also. Right? So now I will see how I can mention that. Right? What is the second thing that a government needs to establish itself? I said it needed money. I said it needed money. But in Islam, we see, where does Allah make the arrangement for that? Meaning that you need the people, and because of that, Allah established this wilayat of the alim and the obligation of obedience to him. So there you see that one angle of the government was set. Now the other angle, where does that come in? The other angle is money. There's need of finances. You know, if you want to run a Rasul Islamic Center, you can't do it without money. Right? If you just tell the people, listen, we don't need money. Right? We just need you all to be here. Yeah, so you know that's not going to work. Because at the end, you will have to pay the mortgage, you have to pay for the bills, you have to pay for the supplies, you have to pay for all these things. The fact is that where does Islam make that arrangement for that money to come in order that this government be established, that it may run, that it may organize the affairs of the people? My friends, this is where you see how Allah had made arrangements for the finances by making the obligation of homes. Homes is that means by which the Islamic system and the affairs of the Muslims and the Ummah could be run. And you see that homes is not like the taxes we pay. You know, because over here, right, the taxes we pay is out of our income. Now, I don't want to explain the philosophy of homes. But just one word in that. The fact is that, my friends, why do you pay taxes here? Because you live here, you work here, you do business here, you use this government, you use the laws of this government to gain benefit. And because of that benefit, in order to maintain that benefit, you pay your taxes in order services can be provided for you, like defense and education and many other things that you have. Just like that, when you are living in the land that belongs to Allah, you're eating of His rizq, you're gaining benefit of His mercy and compassion, and you're also getting the benefit of Islam for making your future in the akhirat and hereafter. With all these benefits you're getting, Allah is saying, so now you have to pay your fair share of running this system and being a part of this system. You see, that's why He said that obligation of khums came, so that we also have to pay our fair share for that. So now this is why it's wajib on us. And at the end of the day, it's not our money. Meaning when you pay taxes, you're not paying taxes, this is your money you're paying taxes. This belongs to the government, you need to pay it up. If you don't, they'll come after you. Just like that, khums is there. And khums, but the only difference is that khums is not on your income. Allah made it such that khums is not on the income, so that those who are poor and whose expenses are more than their income do not have to pay khums. Khums is on your savings, so Allah taxed only those people who earn so much that they have savings at the end of the year. And so when you give khums, what is this khums for? This khums is to assist and to support Islamic movement and whatever work and need that Islam has for it. Khums is there for that reason. It is there for the welfare of the ummah, so that the ummah can benefit from it. This is why the khums is there. So I raise this subject up because this was an important element of Islam. And this is why we see that in khums is paid, when khums goes to the right authority, then you see that Islam starts getting stronger and it gets strengthened because of the fact that now it has the resources to do what it needs to do and propagate Islam and to build the Muslims and to educate the Muslims and build their defenses and to protect them and do many other things that are there. That is the outcome of khums. So now when you see this, that khums is such an important aspect. This is the reason why we see that in this world, this dunya, people are not against prayers. You see, the enemies of Islam are not against prayers. They're not against fasting. They're not against zakat. They're not against hajj. The two things that we see that the world is against are the very two things that give power to Islam and Muslims. Those two things that the whole world is against, and that you see that these two things give power to Muslims and strengthen Muslims, is the leadership of Wilayat al-Faqih and the payment of khums to the rightful authority. These are the two things you see that people and the enemies of Islam are trying to target. So when these two things are not there, then you see that Muslims become weak. They don't become one nation. They do not have unity, and hence they don't have resources, and hence we end up becoming prone to the targets and assaults of kuffar and enemies. These two things are necessary, my friends. This is the reason that the opposition, I don't have time to explain, we want to end this speech soon today, because tomorrow is Eid and everyone will be here in the morning. But just to conclude the topic, I'm saying, the opposition of Wilayat al-Faqih, what do you think it is? Do you think that ulama don't know what Wilayat al-Faqih is? That they don't know that the Faqih has Wilayat? You really think that ulama don't know that? And that they're saying that they're against it? My friends, it's never about Wilayat al-Faqih itself. Because you see, the danger of establishing Wilayat al-Faqih to some people, not many, to some people, is what? When wilayat-e faqih is established, then that means a leadership is established that is an umbrella for everyone. That is a flag for everyone to come around and be united with. When wilayat-e faqih is established and people understand that this is the leader of the ummah, of all the nation, he's not a marja. Marja is, okay, you know, I make taqleed to this marja, you make taqleed to one marja, the other person makes taqleed to another marja. Everyone has their own maraje. But when wali of faqih is established, he is wali for the ummah, not for one group of people. He's wali for the ummah. So now when wilayat of faqih is established, what is the danger there? Why are you worried about this concept of wilayat of faqih being established? My friends, the danger is this, that when wilayat al faqih is established and people understand that this is the leader of the ummah, and then they also understand that khums is there for the welfare of the ummah, then they will understand that the khums should not go to the maraji, it should go to wali al faqih. The idea is that this khums money is going to be lost. That is why the opposition is there. Because people who have opened their shops up to collect khums, that khums is going to a certain group of people. It's not going for the ummah. But when the leadership of the ummah is established, then what is the sense of giving it to a corporation or a private entity? You need to give it to the government that is established. Because the government is that which is taking care of all the people. Khums was meant for the government, and anyone who's going to be in charge of the government of Islam, that khums is going to go to him so that he can distribute it to all the ummahs, to the whole ummah, and look after the welfare of the people. This is the idea that they know where it's going to reach. You see, at the end what will happen is the khums money that's going to stop from these little shops that have opened up. These little things that are opened up. You see, what happened is that, you know, when you see this flooding and national disasters happen and all these things happen. You know, I just read, like recently, you know, that this 9/11 happened, and, you know, whenever these things happen, the government organizes a relief effort in order to relieve the people of that natural disaster. Whatever this is. In Pakistan, you had this flooding that happened last year. Thousands of people were killed or left homeless. So now when that happened, you see that there's an official relief system, this and that. But on the other hand, you have these other people who take advantage and opportunity of that and open their own shops and say that this money is going for the relief over there, and they start collecting money. Now what does that do? When these people collect money, one, that money is going to them and not to the people, and two, it is weakening the effort of the government in trying to relieve the people and help the people. You see, this is what happens. The idea of khums is that the khums is for the ummah. It is for all the mu'mineen, for their welfare, for their education, for the well-being of Islam and the movement of Islam. So now when one leader is established, if we all accept that, then you see the idea, the natural sense is to have to give the khums to him so that he can run the government of Islam and of all the mu'mineen together. This is the danger, my friends. The opposition is not because, oh, this wilayat is mutlaqa, ghayr mutlaqa. All of these things are nonsensical arguments. They have no sense in these arguments. The real issue is that the khums is going to be lost. That the khums will now go to the government instead of going to these private entities. That's what's going to happen. And because of that, the opposition is there to destroy the concept of wilayat al-faqih. Don't let it get established, because once it gets established, then the doors of our khums is going to be finished. If the Islamic hukumat is established, if the Imam comes back here, what do you think? If the Imam is going to come back over here and rule the world, and we all have to give khums, so when we give khums, who are we going to give it to? The leader of the ummah, which is the Imam, or are we going to give it to, you know, this mujtahid here and that mujtahid there? Then it's going to be channeled so that it could be in a central place and that Baytul Mal could be used everywhere. wherever it needs to be used, wherever is the most appropriate, that's up to the leader to decide. This is what happens when wilayat al-faqih is established. One, the strength of Islam will be increased because people are united, and two, the resources are going to come in one place, so that that central power will be stronger to make decisions because the resources they have will increase, my friends. This is the issue that is at the heart of the opposition to wilayat al-faqih. That is what's at the heart of wilayat al-faqih. Because if we understand that, then it is natural that, hey, if he's the leader of the ummah, why am I giving my khums here? He's the leader of the whole ummah. He's in charge of the affairs, the social affairs of the people, not my haram and halal. He's in charge of the organizing all of us. So obviously, the sense would be that I would give that khums to the central authority and say that this is for you in order that it can be a resource to you so that you can establish Islam. This is what is at the heart of the issue, my friends. Something for us to ponder over and understand. Because as I explained, wilayat al-faqih is not only from our ayat and hadith, it is an aqli issue. It is an issue that makes sense. It is an issue that, you know, is a necessity. Just like imamat is. Imamat is necessity. Just like that, the wilayat of the faqih is necessity. It is there. And hence, these are issues that are at the heart of those who oppose it. Otherwise, there is no aqli dalil anyone has against it and say that, we don't believe in this. So what do you believe in? That the jahil should rule us? That the ignorant should rule us? No, but what? You know, so you would rather have your president who's a jahil to rule over the alim, who's the faqih, who's the mujtahid? Then what does it mean? There is no aqli dalil against wilayat al-faqih. The concept is logical, the concept is reasonable, and also from the Quran and hadith. The issue is that these stores, these dukkan that they have opened up to collect homes, that is going to be stopped. That is going to be stopped. And when that stops, there's no 401k plan they have. There's no retirement plan they have. This was a retirement plan. Right? Yeah, so you're hitting at the heart of the matter, you're hitting at the retirement. That's what you're hitting at. But the issue is that, listen, just because of your plan, the ummah is being hurt. We as a nation are being hurt. We as a collective group of mu'mineen are being hurt. Just because your opposition, because of your own personal gains. This is what's at the heart of the matter, my friends. This is what we need to think about. And if mu'mineen can gain ma'rifat of that, then they will understand that, listen, enough is enough. We need our imam to come back. We don't want to joke around with Islam anymore. We don't want to play around with Islam anymore. Homs is there to strengthen Islam. And our job is to do two things with homs. When it comes to homs, there are two things that is your obligation towards homs. Other than paying and all that, I'm not talking about that. Ideologically, I'm saying. And look at it reasonably and look at it logically. Two obligations you have towards Qoms, my friends. What are those obligations? One, your first obligation towards Qoms is to see how you can increase it. How can you increase that Baytul Maal? How can you make that more stronger? That's your first obligation. Your first obligation is to increase the Qoms and increase the Baytul Maal and the resources of the Imam. And the second obligation you have is that anyone who is hurting and harming and causing damage to that Baytul Mal, to the Qoms, fight against them and oppose them. Oppose them and say, you know, what are you doing? Why are you stealing the wealth of the Imam? Why are you taking the wealth of the Imam? My friends, when you see someone hurting that Baytul Mal and the wealth of the Imam, stand up against it. This is your obligation. Because this is the money of the Imam, this is the wealth of the Imam, it has to be used only in his way and for the proper reasons through the proper channels. This is what your obligation towards Baytul Maal is. And this is why you see the concept of Wilayat al-Faqih is being attacked. It's being attacked because of this reason. Because of this reason. Because that's at the heart of the issue here, heart of the matter here. Because when we understand the Wilayat al-Faqih, then you will understand also that the wujuhat of Islam that are there for the ummah, not for a group of people, has to go for the leader of the ummah, to one who's running the government. So this is, inshallah, we will end over here. Tomorrow is Eid. On a note, just the fact that those who don't know yet, tomorrow at 9 o'clock we'll have the prayer here. Zakatul Fitr is $10 per head. And you know, the boxes are here, inshallah. And by morning when you come over here, you can, you know, we'll inshallah collect that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths, to give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. O Allah, we ask You that all the amal and du'as that we have done in this month, accept them with a glorious acceptance. O Allah, whatever mistakes we have made in this month, please ignore those mistakes and help us to be right. O Allah, we ask You that these ibadat that we have done for the sake of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, and through them, inshallah, accept these amal and ibadat from us. O Allah, we ask You to hasten the reappearance of our Imam and to make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat. Any questions, my friends? Please read a Fatiha for Abbas Ali Khorasani, who has passed away, inshallah, may Allah have mercy on his soul. Okay, so I guess this will be it. Tomorrow will be Eid, inshallah. We will have our Eid program tomorrow. Yes, sir.
I think there are EC trustees should know that more, right?
9 o'clock starts, so 8:30 the program will start. So 8:30 will be the program, and inshallah 9 o'clock will start the salat. Okay, alhamdulillah, that's clear. Inshallah. Well, inshallah, we'll see you all tomorrow then, my friends. Salawats.